जया गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे वल्लभ जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारे यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे
नाम संकीर्तन की चाय शिशु किशोर किशोरी जगन्नाथ वल्लभ सुभद्रा महारानी गौर निताय की चाय शील प्रभुपाद की चाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 29 नायम वेद स्वाम आत्मना या शक्त्या अहम् धिया हतम् तम् दुरात्यया महात्म्यं भगवतम् इतः अस्मि अहम् नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्या हम धिया हतम् तम दुरत्यय महात्म्यम् तम दुरत्यय महात्म्यम् भगवन् तमितोऽस्म्यहम् नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्याहं धियाहतम् तं दुरत्ययमहात्म्यं भगवन् मितोऽस्म्यहम्। नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्याहं धियाहतम् तं दुरत्ययमहात्म्यं भगवान् तम् इतोऽस्म्यहम्। नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्याहं धियाहतम् तं दुरत्ययमहात्म्यं भगवन्तम् इति योऽस्म्यहम्। नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्याहं धियाहतम् तं दुरत्ययमहात्म्यं भगवान्तमितोऽस्म्यहम्। नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्याहं धियाहतम् तं दुरत्ययमहात्म्यं भगवन्तमितोऽस्म्यहम्। नायं वेदस्वमात्मानम् यच्छक्त्याहं धियाहतम् तं दुरत्ययमहात्म्यं भगवन्तं हितोऽस्म्यहम्। न नॉट अयम् पीपल इन जनरल वेदा नो स्वाम ओन आत्मनाम आइडेंटिटी यत् शक्त्या बाय हुज इन्फ्लुएंस अहम आई एम इंडिपेंडेंट धिया बाय दिस इंटेलिजेंस हतम डिफिटेड और कवर्ड तम unto him duratyaya difficult to understand mahatmyam whose glories bhagavatam of the supreme personality of Godhead itaha taking shelter asmiham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the Jiva, who is part and parcel of God, forgets his real identity because of his bodily concept of life. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, every living entity, regardless of whether he be human, demigod, animal, bird, bee, or whatever, is part and parcel of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord and the living entity are intimately related, like father and son. Unfortunately, because of material contact, the living entity forgets this and wants to enjoy the material world independently, according to his own plan. This illusion, Maya, is very difficult to surmount. Maya covers the living entity because of his willingness to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make his own plan to enjoy this material world. As long as this contamination continues, the conditioned soul will be unable to understand his real identity and will perpetually continue under illusion, life after life. Ato graha kshetra sutapta vittair janasya moho yam aham mameti. Bhagavatam 5.5.8. As long as the living entity is not enlightened so that he may understand his real position, he will be attracted to materialistic life, to the house, country or field, to society, sons, family, community, bank balance and so on. Covered by all this, he will continue to think, I am this body and everything related to this body is mine. This materialistic conception of life is extremely difficult to surmount, but one who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as did Gajendra, the king of elephants, comes to enlightenment on the Brahman platform. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kaankshati samah sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Since a devotee is completely on the Brahman platform, he is not jealous of any other living entity. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu. Om ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupah kadamahiyam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitamstam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mukham Kroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatharinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya. I seek blessings from all my seniors. With that, I would like to speak something in glorification of Lord and for purification of my heart. So, we are seeing this beautiful pastime wherein Gajendra, who was the king of elephants, he went to have a nice time in the waters, but then like when he got caught by a crocodile, and then after trying his best for, you know, hundreds of years, he gave it up. He understood that, you know, he cannot just, you know, there was no chance to get out of this miserable condition. And then, by the mercy of Lord, he remembered the prayers which he used to recite as, you know, King Indrajumna in his previous life. So, in the continuation of prayers, in today's prayer, he's saying that I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the jiva forgets his real identity because of the bodily concept of life. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that कृष्ण भूलिया जीव भोगवांछा करे निकटस्थ माया तारे झपटिया धरे. दैट मीन्स व्हेन द इंडिविजुअल जीवात्मा ही ट्राइज टू एंजॉय सेपरेट फ्रॉम लॉर्ड देन इमीडिएटली ही कम्स अंडर द कैप्चर ऑफ लॉर्ड्स इल्यूजरी एनर्जी. सो Lord has three potencies: internal potency, its external potency, and then tatastha shakti, you know, the marginal potency. So the associates of Lord, they all are like, you know, under internal potency. External potency is, you know, what the material nature is, Mayadevi, and we all in between, you know, marginal. And by nature, we are active. So marginal means it's like on the shore. So like we have say Lake Michigan. So on. If we go on the shore, we have two choices: either go and dip our foot in water, or stay on the sand. So, but we cannot be idle. Basically, we have to be in either side. So, same way, the jivatma, he has by nature he is active. So he has to be either serving the Lord in under the internal potency, or serve Lord indirectly through his external potency. We cannot say that I'll be on the border, I won't do anything. So that's why many times this Mayavadis, they try to do, and then they merge into impersonal Brahman. But since there is no activity, they eventually fall down to this material world. So in this verse, Prabhupada is so beautifully describing the basic causes our forgetfulness of our real identity. So Prabhupada, going back to basics in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many times he tells that we are not body, but we are soul. So we theoretically, at least I theoretically understand, but if we realize this, we are done, from this material world. So again and again, we need to hear this, so that this tendency to enjoy separately from Lord, that gets away. So you can imagine that suppose there's a big wheel, it's like cycle of birth and death, and then one goes in, and the thing is that you do something, you are implicated for one more birth. So initially we have some independent mentality which we misuse, and then we come to this material world, and then with each desire we are requesting one body from material world. So you just imagine, from morning till now, how many desires we had? Okay, I wish I would have this, that, or whatever. In case of practicing duty, we may have desire. I want to go to Mayapur, Vrindavan. That's good, spiritual desires. But what about material desires? And then the material nature is such an amazing, empowered by Lord, that he keeps track of all our desires, not only in this life, but in the previous. Not only desires, it also takes account of all our actions. So I was walking from home to temple, and say accidentally I might have put a step on an ant which I don't know, or like it's said, like when we are breathing, we're killing some germs, material nature is counting. You have killed 10,527 germ today morning at 8:20, and then I'm just giving an example, and then we are entitled to get a suffering for that particular action. And same thing with the good, we help someone, so to enjoy the fruit of that good activity, pious activity, we have to again take a birth. So just imagine, will it be ever possible for a jivatma to get out of this cycle of birth and death? It's simply impossible if we think from this point of view. Because we desire, material nature is there, yes, your desire is in queue. But there is a hope. Prabhupada says that if we do perform devotional service intensely, then all our desires, not only desires, but even the activities, like karmic activities which we have, karmani nirdhati kintuja bhakti bhajam, govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami, that whatever seeds of even the sinful desires we have, which are not yet fructified, for which we are supposed to get karma, they are also burnt. So once the seed is burnt, it cannot germinate. No tree comes out. So no more birth and death. So the only solution is taking to devotional service intensely. Why intensely? Again, because this concept of enjoying separately, it can come even in life of a sadhaka as well. Because when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are like, you know, kind of give up the gross, you know, sensual enjoyment there just because we get higher test, you know, it's so obvious. So we all like, you know, start following four regulative principles, we start chanting 16 rounds. But then Maya, as Krishna says in this verse also, Duratyaya. There's another verse in Bhagavad Gita, famous 7th chapter, you know. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Duratyaya means very difficult to surmount, very difficult to cross. So what happens is that Maya Devi still doesn't leave us. Rather, he is on our case more attentively to see where are we, you know, where she can, you know, take us away. Because it is said that in a prison, if, you know, the day-to-day criminal is there, there is a watch going on. But if the moment somebody tries to break it, they'll have an extra CCTV camera on him, specially focused, you know, what this guy is doing, right? So same way, all of us, by, you know, when we heard from devotees, you know, we are not this body, we are soul, and then we are anyway, like, you know, battered in material world, Krishna's, you know, devotees association, we find nice solace, so we start. But then Maya comes here in different form, you know, pujala, pratishta, honor, distinction, recognition. So this subtle form Maya tries to attack us. And then here, even when we are trying to do service, here, like, you know, okay, I want to do this service, I want to lead this, I want to do this, I, that I still remains, though we are doing. Of course, it's purifying, but then, you know, eventually we have to make sure that we even work on all these, you know, subtle anarthas as well, because that also, you know, comes under this, you know, enjoying mentality. So, and then there's a nice analogy given by one of the devotees. He said that there are flowers we see outside, and then many times there are small insects in that, or small ants. And then, you know, pujaris, they pluck the flower, and sometimes they are really in, like, you know, we cannot really see them. And they make, you know, nice garland, and then, you know, the garland is, you know, offered to Kishore Kishori. And then, you know, garland is just next to shoulder, and that, you know, that insect is just in the flower, which is just close to Lord's cheek, you know, so close. So just because he took shelter of that flower, the insect, he's so close to, you know, Lord's personal form, like, you know, deity there. And then what happens is that, you know, he's, you know, enjoying Lord's company, and then, you know, the offering time comes, bhoga time. The pujari closes altar, and then the bhoga plate is offered. So this insect, so till that time he was looking to this Lord's, you know, amazing, beautiful face. He looks down and he says, hey, there is something else to enjoy. And then what happens? He crawls down. He leaves the shelter of the lotus feet, and then he comes down to enjoy the bhoga. And then what happens? Pujari sees it. He takes a dustpan, takes a broom, and directly throws in the dustbin. So this devotee was explaining the same way. We come to Krishna consciousness, we take shelter of devotees, we get very close to Lord. It's lotus feet, Lord's cheek, very close. And then, the moment we try to come out, like, you know, instead of, you know, remaining in the shelter of devotee, when we try to come out and try to enjoy Lord or his devotees for our own enjoyment, then what happens? Pujari comes, material nature comes, puts us, you know, in the trash can and throws us in the dustbin, again pool of, you know, material world. So in devotional service, while practicing also, we have to make sure that we take shelter of devotees not for enjoyment, but as a submission, and as a, you know, in a humble way, so that all the anarthas, they get slowly purified. It's going to be, you know, lifelong process. It's not, you know, a day job. So we have to have patience. And then when we keep hearing this and we have this healthy fear of Maya, it is said that, you know, Prabhupada used to say many times that I fear my disciples do not have, you know, enough, they are not enough afraid of Maya. Of course, like, he was even speaking for us also, rather more for us, because we are too, at least, you know, too careless sometimes. So So we have to be afraid of Maya, not in the negative sense, but in the positive sense. So His Holiness Suchinandan Swami Maharaj, he gives one example. This, he says that once he was going to somebody's place, and he saw one big dog, you know, running towards him, you know, and he was, you know, if you see, his physique is not so, like, you know, he's like a normal sized, you know, devotee. And he was so afraid. And then when the dog was about to pounce on him, the owner shouted, you know, stop, and, you know, come back. And that dog immediately, you know, stopped, and he went back. And then, you know, he was relieved, actually. So same way he says, Maya is very powerful, but, and he is about to pounce on us. Rather, we are already, you know, kind of beaten by her, you know, many a times. But if Krishna says stop, Maya metam tarantite. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna says, stop. To whom? Maya. And then we can actually approach the Lord. And then the next, then what will happen? Like when we are under this Maya's clutches, then we forget His real identity. Queen Kunti also prays that, you know, Maya Javanika Chandam. That as actor cannot be seen by the, you know, audience, because he is dressed in different way. Same way, Lord is, you know, been covered by, you know, Maya's illusory potency, so we cannot recognize Him. Forget now, when even Lord was present Himself, He went in front of Duryodhana and people like that, they could not understand Him because of, you know, this particular Maya's, you know, amazing potency. So, but if we take shelter of Lord, then this thing is removed, the curtain of Maya is removed. And then Prabhupada says that, you know, what happens when this curtain is removed? Towards the end he says, Brahma Bhupata Prasannatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One becomes fully joyful. Are we not looking for that? All of us, we want to be happy. But happiness in this material world is like a gap between two miseries. Indrajumna Maharaj gives this example. There is this burger, there is this thick loaf of bread up, this thick of loaf of bread down, and there is a small thin layer of the cheese inside. And you try to bite. Where is the cheese? No cheese. Same way, basically the so-called happiness in material world is what? That, you know, you get one punch from Maya, and then, you know, the Maya takes hand her back, and then we feel, hey, you know, it's happy, and then just to get another big blow. Or there is, you know, another a nice example given by, you know, acharyas, like, you know, they used to have this punishment for some people, that they'll put them in the water, and they'll, you know, put their head under water, and when, you know, person is gasping for air, when he's about to, you know, die, they'll bring him up, and that time he'll feel, you know, He gets to breathe, he'll feel like, you know, I'm happiest fellow in the world. And the moment he finishes the breath, tsh, you know, again put it in back. That's what happiness is. If we try to analyze a little more technically, basically what the happiness is, that mind is hankering for something. I want this, I want this. So it's like, you know, the resonance is going on. I want, I want, I want, I want. And it's troubling, person is restless, you know. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna nicely explains, one is like, you know, thinking of a sense object, then he desires, you know, strong attraction from them. Then what happens? Dehato vishyan punsa sangaste shupachate. I want, I want, I want. Sangas sanjayate kamat, kamat krodhu vedate. And when one doesn't get, then he feels angry. And when one gets, what happens? That oscillation goes in mind, I want, that reduces for some time, just to start, I want another thing. So the mind's period, when he is, you know, not oscillating for anything, that technically people think that it's happiness. So there is no positive, basically. It's all either, like, you know, zero, or like, you know, it's not negative, basically. But when we practice Krishna consciousness, you know, prasannatma, fully joyful, not happy, he says joyful. How the devotee becomes? He becomes joyful, happy. In Brahma Samhita, last verse, it is described what the spiritual world look like, you know. श्रियः कान्तः कान्तः परम पुरुष कल्पतरो द्रुमा भूमिश्चिन्तामणि गमयितोऽयम् अमृतम् कथा गानम नाट्यम गमनमपि ओम श्री प्रियसिद्ध वेर इट सेज दैट ईच टॉक इज लाइक अ सॉन्ग यू नो व्हेन वी आर हैप्पी वी सिंग सॉन्ग बट यू नो हियर एवरी टॉक इज लाइक सॉन्ग एवरी वॉक इज लाइक डांस बिकॉज व्हाई दे आर फुल्ली जॉयफुल एंड Prabhupada also mentions that another symptom of such a person is he is not jealous of any other living entity. So, basically, if we see in this world, why envy or jealousy starts basically? That okay, somebody has something and I want it. Now, whether I deserve it or not, that we never think, but you know. So now, just see that this whole material world is temporary. You all understand. We are all eternal, plus you know, we are from spiritual world. Now, why this devotee will not have jealousy? Because everyone has a unique place in spiritual world. It's not like, okay, there are only 10 vacancies and you know, there are you know, 100 devotees from ISKCON who are applying to it. No. There are as many jivatmas in the material world, there are those many unique ways they serve Lord in the spiritual world. That means unless we go back to spiritual world, our that vacancy will remain vacant only. Nobody else can fill it. So why to be envious? Because we, you know, eventually we are going to get it. Once we purify our heart, we get it. So when we get this understanding, then naturally the devotee, and then this one gets from you know the soul level. But even in this material world, then devotee understands the laws of karma. And then he's just like, you know, he doesn't become jealous or envious because he understands that, okay, it's just, you know, whatever I'm getting, the material things, this is as per my karma. So I cannot even change. So if I have a engine of a car, I cannot fly, you know, travel with the speed of a aeroplane because the aeroplane engine is going to be different. So knowing that, why to be jealous? Because generally, as you know, we thought that jealousy means we want what something else has. He's flying with the speed of an aeroplane, I'm flying with the speed of a car, or I may be just walking, you know, and I'm seeing, you know, why this guy, you know, why is in plane, you know, let me take a stone and throw at him. This is what, you know. So when we have this understanding, then we won't do that. And then we become fully joyful. Just to you know quickly summarize, we saw that how Prabhupada explains that when the jiva is forgetful of his original position, then he comes under the spell of maya, which is very difficult to surmount, and then he gets into this aham mameti bodily platform. But when he takes shelter of Lord, then the spell of maya is removed and he becomes you know truly joyful. And then also you know Gajendra mentions that you know I take shelter of Supreme Person of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand. So many times, like, you know, mental speculators, they think that, okay, we'll try to estimate Lord by our own, you know, glories or something. That's also not possible. Ananta Shesh, who has unlimited hoods, he says that, you know, who is singing the pastimes of Lord constantly, he says he cannot finish what Lord does even in a day. It's, you know, there are so many pastimes, so very difficult to understand all the personified Vedas. If we see all these prayers, like we see that, you know, in Bhagavatam, the general theme is that, okay, there is a pastime, Leela going on, and then the devotee is in trouble, Lord protects him, and then the devotee offers nice prayers. And if we study all these prayers, this theme wherein they say that, oh Lord, we cannot understand you, that's very much, you know, repetitive. To tell us, rather to make us, you know, humble in one sense that actually we are literally, you know, too insignificant to understand anything, what to speak of Lord. So that makes us again humble and we can take, you know, shelter of Lord. So today is also Hera Panchami and the disappearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit. So we thought that we'll discuss something about it. So you know that just, you know, four days back, Hera Panchami. So Hera means actually, you know, observing, and Panchami means, you know, a fifth day. So what happens is that in Jagannath Puri, we know that there is, you know, Lord Jagannath, you know, goes from Nilachal to Nilachal is the Jagannath temple. From here, he goes to Gundicha temple. So that is called as Sundarachal. The Jagannathpuri temple, Nilachal is, you know, representation of, you know, Lord's Dwarka mood. Whereas in the Gundicha temple, it's representation of Vrindavan mood, Lord Vrindavan mood. So what happens is that before going, Lord, as a perfect handicapped husband, he takes permission from Goddess of Fortune that, you know, I'm just going for outing and I'll be back next day. You know, tomorrow I'll be back. And then Lord, you know, goes, and then once he goes to Vrindavan, he just forgets, you know, that he had, you know, he had promised his wife to go back. And then here, Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmiji, she's waiting, you know, one day is over, you know, my husband is not there. Another day, he's not there. Third day, she starts getting restless. Where is he gone? You know. Fourth day also. So fourth day, he says, you know, there's something wrong, you know. So generally, you know that, you know, the nature of lover is, you know, a possessiveness. That means if, you know, somebody is loving someone, the person wants that the other, you know, lover should not love anyone else, you know, except me. And especially it's very much prevalent in the, you know, relationship between, you know, husband and wife, in that sense that, you know, the chaste wife always feels that my husband should not, you know, love someone else than me. And here, just imagine you have a husband like, you know, Supreme Lord himself, and he's absconding for, you know, 4 days. What will he do? You know? So then Lakshmi, Mother Lakshmi, Goddess of Fortune, she calls all her associates and she says, let's go and, you know, see where the Lord is. So in Chaitanya Charitamrut, Madhya Leela 14th chapter, there is a nice description wherein after the Ratha Yatra pastime, on 5th day, Hera Panchami day, that is like, you know, comes to be today, King Prataprudra Maharaj, he orders all his ministers that, you know, please, you know, open my treasury, get all the, you know, chamaras and ornaments, everything for, you know, Goddess of Fortune, arrange a nice procession. So what they do actually is that, you know, Goddess of Fortune, like Mother Lakshmi, she goes on a palanquin, beautifully decorated with all her maid servants. They are also like, you know, very, you know, gorgeously decorated, you know, with, you know, amazing ornaments, and, you know, it's like full opulence of Vaikuntha. So every one of them, so they take all this maid servant of, you know, Mother Lakshmi, they take Mother Lakshmi on a palanquin towards Gundicha temple. Reason? Lakshmi wants to see, you know, where is my husband, what is doing, you know, why is not back at him. So this nice procession goes on, and then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they were sitting on this, you know, gardens near to Gundicha temple, and they see this beautifully, you know, all elegant procession. We can even imagine, you know, can't even imagine. You know, Chaitanya Charitamrita has description of, you know, so many of, you know, the chamaras are there, whisk pans are there, so many ornaments, and, you know, like opulent bhoga, the maid servants are carrying, you know, betel nuts for, you know, the water pitchers of nectar for, you know, Mother, Goddess of, you know, Fortune, you know, Mother Lakshmi. And all of them, they are going in procession, and they come, you know, outside this, you know, Gundicha temple. And this, you know, the maid servant of Goddess of Fortune, they are very powerful. What they do? They arrest the maid servants of Jagannathji, and they starts beating them literally like thieves. You know, seeing that, you know, where did you take, you know, Lord Jagannath from us? They're very upset. And then not only they beat them, they beat the cart also. They have, you know, cane sticks, big sticks. So they actually beat the, you know, the cart which was, you know, used to pull Lord Jagannath from, you know, Nilachal to, you know, Sundarachal, Nilachal to Gundicha temple. In a display of, you know, loving anger, you know. That why are you leaving me? You know, why are you leaving me? And then, seeing this, Lord was sitting with, you know, Swarup Damodar, Srivas Thakur, and Nithyanand Prabhu, and all his associates. They starts laughing that how, you know, the servants of Lord Jagannath, they are getting a beating from maid servants of Lakshmiji, and they are like, you know, caught like thief, and they, you know, bring in front of, you know, bring them in front of Mother Lakshmi. And then, when this whole scene was going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, you know, what's going on? And then Swarup Damodar in detail describes actually the different moods the different queens have towards Krishna, wherein he says, you know, the Satyabhama is like, you know, kind of very much aggressive, kind of nature, she's like very much kind of, you know, dominating Lord Krishna. She wants always Lord to with him, wherein like, you know, Rukmini is, you know, more of a submissive nature. And in detail he describes that, and then in detail he describes the glories of the gopis, and then, you know, the different moods which Radhani takes, which is of course, you know, beyond my realization to discuss. And then something beautiful happens. There was Shiva Thakur sitting, and he says that, what is, you know, he goes in the mood of Narad Muni, and he says that, you know, what's in your Vrindavan? There are just, you know, twigs, leaves, you know, some cow dung. And, you know, why Lord has, you know, left the opulence of Vaikuntha, like, you know, the Nilachal, and, you know, went to Vrindavan. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami, like, who is actually, you know, Lalita Sakhi, correct? So he describes the, you know, the glories of Vrindavan, and there he quotes this verse, you know, Chintamani Prakrasadma Sukalpa Vruksha Laksha Avarteshu Surabhi Ravikpala, and wherein each dust particle is like Chintamani, each cow is like Kamadhenu cow, each tree is like Kalpavruksha tree. The gopis themselves, they are like, you know, goddess of fortune. And Srimati Radharani, which source of all that, but her, like, you know, the nature of simplicity and love that attracts Krishna more than the, you know, the Dwarka mood. And that, you know, and then Srivas Thakur, when he hears the glory of, you know, Vrindavan, he starts, you know, jumping and dancing. He becomes very joyful. And then they, you know, while this discussion going on, the maid servant of Lakshmiji, they handcuff all the maid servant of Jagannath, and they bring him in front of Goddess of Fortune. And then the maid servant of Jagannath, they, you know, humbly, you know, bow to Mother Lakshmi. They ask forgiveness that we have taken your Lord for so long, and they promise that tomorrow we will for sure bring Lord back to your home. And then actually the next day is in the back Ratha Yatra, wherein Lord is actually brought back from Gundicha to Dwarka, like, that is from Gundicha to, you know, Jagannath Puri temple. It's again beautiful temple. And then there are again beautiful pastime wherein Mother Lakshmi, she allows Subhadra Mai and Baldevji to enter, but she gives a hard time to Jagannathji, you know, while entering. It's very beautiful, you know, pastime described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So today is that day, Hera Panchami. Also today is disappearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit. So he was one of the very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was in Mayapur when Lord was there. And his main service to Lord was, he was an amazing singer and dancer. So sometimes we dance in Kirtan, and then, you know, next day our legs are paining, you know. But Vakreshwar Pandit, his standard was, he used to dance for 72 hours constantly. You know, or just, you know, they are, because eternal, you know, servants of Lord, they are just, you know, in ecstasy, they are just beyond bodily pattern. So, and he was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to like his singing also a lot. So, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes, or I think Chaitanya Bhagavata, it describes that how Devanand Pandit got delivered because of Vakreshwar Pandit. So what had happened was that once Srivas Thakur, he used to love hearing Bhagavatam. And the Devanand Pandit, he was renowned Bhagavatam speaker. He used to speak Bhagavatam, you know, and, you know, very, you know, in a, Bhagavatam is actually nectar, but, you know, he used to speak it, it used to be, you know, amazingly, you know, wonderfully presented. So once Devanand Pandit was doing this, you know, giving Bhagavatam class, and then Srivas Thakur came and he sat in the assembly. And then hearing the transcendental pastimes of Lord, Srivas Thakur went into ecstasy, and then he started crying, you know, calling out Lord's name. And seeing this, the students of Devanand Pandit, who are not advanced, they thought that he is, you know, a poor imitator, and he is just, you know, disturbing our class. So what they did, which they should not have done, they pick up Srivas Thakur and they put him outside the class. Srivas Thakur feels very bad. He goes home. Excuse me. But when this was happening, Devanand Pandit does not say a word. So Lord Chaitanya, and Lord as a Paramatma, he knows everything. So Lord takes it as, you know, offense to, you know, his nice devotee as Shivas. So he was very much upset with Devanand Pandit, and he said, you know, I'll never give you, you know, Krishna Prem. But what happens is that later, when Vakreshwar Pandit went to preach, I think, along with, you know, Nityanand Prabhu, he went. So that time, in Kulia, Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing in a kirtan. And then, you know, naturally, like in India, you know, when something wonderful is happening, you see a lot of crowd gathering. So that time, what Devanand Pandit did, that he understood that, you know, he's a really, you know, pure devotee, immersed in Krishna Prem. So he takes a stick in his hand and he protected so that other people don't, you know, go, you know, disturb him in his, you know, dancing or chanting. So he does that service. And then when, you know, Vakreshwar Pandit, you know, finishes his dancing, he goes, he humbly submits to him, pays respects to him. And Vakreshwar Pandit says, you know, may you become a devotee of Krishna. He blesses him. And because of this, you know, service which he renders to Vakreshwar Pandit, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Kuliagram, he says that, you know, you had offended Srivas Thakur, but since you served my, you know, another devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit, I forgive you. And then, you know, he gives, you know, love of God to, you know, Devanand Pandit. So this was one of the pastime, but there were many pastimes wherein Vakreshwar Pandit, just by seeing his dancing, chanting, you know, people used to, you know, become Krishna conscious. He was such an empowered personality. The acharyas explained that he was the incarnation of Tunga Vidya Sakhi, one of the eight principal gopis. In that, you know, Tunga Vidya comes, so her expansion was, you know, Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to be, like, you know, very happy with him. And then he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira. When he came to Puri, he also followed him. And then he used to worship his deity's names are given as, you know, Radhakant Shishi, Radhakant. Those are still there in Jagannath Puri. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstasy, he used to say that Vakreshwar Pandit, he's like my, you know, I feel that, you know, I have like a wing. If I would have another devotee like you, I would fly. You know, that's how he used to, you know, glorify Vakreshwar Pandit. So it's again very auspicious to seek his blessings. Today is Disciples Day. So we see that on one hand, Lord gives knowledge through Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, wherein he says, you know, that okay, how as a Jivatma, we are under this, you know, material nature, we have forgotten Lord and we have come here. At the same times, he comes and performs such an, you know, incredible pastimes, so that we develop a desire. And what happens when we develop a desire? Material nature acts the same way. It tries to fulfill it. And then, oh, wish I would have been there to watch, you know, dancing of Vakreshwar Pandit. Nice desire. And then, yeah, eventually Krishna will take a note of it and, you know, we'll be there. And, you know, just maybe while dancing, we may get a kind of a slap off his hand and we may, you know, pure devotee done. You know, so simple, right? So, Lord comes and attracts through such various pastimes so that we can get, you know, we can surpass this, you know, duratya, the very difficult to surmount maya very easily. So we have to have healthy fear of maya. At the same time, we have to strive to develop the positive attraction towards Lord's pastime by, you know, hearing, you know, such a nice pastimes about Lord, reading it, you know, Prabhupada is so nicely given Bhagavatam, Krishna book, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita. One devotee used to say, you know, like before sleeping, you just take, you know, hot milk and Krishna book, it will keep away Maya's hook. So before sleeping, just take a nice, you know, milk prasad along with read Krishna book. Nice sleep, you know, sweet Krishna dreams, you know, Maya's hook will be kept away. So with this, I would like to stop here with the prayer that may all of us get attracted to Lord Chaitanya, Lord, you know, Jagannath's nice pastimes, and, you know, Lord Kishore Kishori, and get the mercy of devotees like, you know, Vakreshwar Pandit, the way Devanand Pandit got, you know, delivered. Let we also get delivered by mercy of, you know, some of the Bhagavatas. With this prayer, would like to stop. Any comments, questions?
Hare Krishna. Hello. Hey, it's on, right? Okay. Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. Can you hear me?
I can hear. I think that's not on, but I'll try to repeat. Yeah.
I think it is on, it's just low. But, you were mentioning in your class that the last point Prabhupada makes about the devotee is not jealous of anyone. And you were mentioning that when we become jealous of someone, we never consider whether we have the qualification for whatever they have or whatever, or, you know, that never comes to our mind. And so I was kind of appreciating, like, I wasn't here for the last verse, but basically, I mean, it mentions what our qualification should be for uncovering the Maya to see the Lord, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. And there's some points I appreciate in this regard, and I have a question. Bhakti Tirtha Swami actually asked my question, but maybe you could expand on it. But one point in this regard that I appreciate what Bhakti Siddhanta said is in Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. It's the chapter is called The Seer and the Seeing, and it's page 180 actually. So we've heard all this statement before, but he said, the way he phrased it, I really appreciate it. He says, we should not consider the Supreme Lord as an object of our vision. Instead, we should meditate on how we can acquire some qualification to become worthy objects of his vision. And I kind of appreciate this point, because when you're speaking to devotees, you actually realize that they have a lot of nice experiences, some quite unbelievable. And I'll mention a few of them. Basically, a couple of devotees, and I believe them, and they have my full support, and there's no criticism there. And it inspires me in Krishna consciousness, but it could be an object of criticism of others if they tell others. So a couple of devotees, young devotees, and I'm very inspired by their character, they actually told me that in a dream that that they actually saw, you know, Krishna's form. One of them said, I didn't even think I would be attracted to the dark blue form of Krishna. And another devotee said, the only thing that's keeping me alive in Krishna consciousness is this dream that he was wrestling with Krishna, and he body slammed him to the ground, then he woke up. It's longer than that. And then there's also one, not a dream story, but a real life story of devotees is maybe considered unbelievable. You may know it, but I'm not gonna mention their names. But they basically said they came upon Prabhupada's form, and they were told by some devotees to pray to Prabhupada for guidance of who your spiritual master is. And then their spiritual master walked in, they didn't know who this person was, and he was standing right next to Prabhupada. And these two devotees said they both heard Prabhupada's form over there say that this is your spiritual master. Now, this is very inspirational to me, but it could be an object of criticism for, you know, others. So my question is basically, essentially that with Bhakti Tirtha Swami told Radhanath Maharaj, he said, Radhanath Maharaj said, I didn't want to write my book because it'd be unbelievable. Nobody would believe me. And people think, you know, it'd be an act of false ego to write a book about myself. But Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, essentially, to not tell your story, essentially, if it can help, your story is essentially not about who you could convince. It's about who you can help. And to not tell it, if it can help somebody, it would be an act of arrogance for you not to tell it. So that's basically my question, is that sometimes I think Krishna will bless us all with unbelievable paranormal. This stuff is actually normal, because this is paranormal being in this body. And the stuff that devotees say, you know, that seems paranormal are actually the truth. We all should be coming to that stage. And I'm inspired by it, first of all. So my question is, when we're in that dilemma where Krishna maybe bless us with some paranormal thing that could either inspire someone, or we could be an object of somebody's criticism, you know, what should our situation be? Like I said, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he answered my question, but maybe you could expand on it a little bit. Okay.
If we are object of Krishna's mercy in some special way, should we tell others or not? Because it can become inspirational if we tell. So our intention may be that, okay, I want to inspire and give faith, but then they may take in another way and I may be object of criticism. Okay, is that correct? Yeah, okay. So devotee, in any case, he thinks that how best he can serve others. So now it depends on what experience we have, and then it depends whom we are talking with. So if we know somebody who has developed enough faith, who has, you know, who won't, what do you say, who knows that, you know, Krishna can reciprocate in such way, and if you feel that, okay, it will be like, you know, inspirational and institutional dealing, we can tell without telling that it happened with me. We can tell that, you know, I heard from one devotee, it happened to one devotee, and this was, and I personally felt, you know, quite inspired by that. Second thing, if somebody is very new and he is like, you know, struggling basically whether, you know, I'm body or soul or I am whose body or, you know, things like that, then better not to tell them, you know, such things, because there are many pastimes of Lord which even like, you know, we don't hear, like, you know, the intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna, because we are not qualified and we may develop something else. So instead of developing what you say appreciation, that a new person may just, so these people may look like, you know, sentimentalist, you know, let me just go away. So it depends how best we can serve. Okay, so the safest way is that if we don't know someone, better not to tell. Or even if we know someone, you know, very nicely, tell in a way not to project yourself, just tell that, you know, okay, one devotee, it happened to me. Because I remember, you know, some of very senior, you know, brahmacharis, they had, you know, some experience with their spiritual master. When they explain, they won't, like, wherein the spiritual master has glorified them, but they'll just tell that, okay, one devotee, you know, did this mistake, but then he corrected, and that way he got, you know, some mercy from, you know, his spiritual master. They won't tell that, it happened to me, like, you know, like that, unless, you know, somebody is very close, you know. So that way, what happens is that the person in, you know, who is listening, he'll not go into this, you know, if he is not advanced. Of course, if he is really mature devotee, he can really appreciate that, okay, Krishna can reciprocate. It's not that, you know, Krishna cannot reciprocate. But at the same time, he won't go into this, you know, I see these guys, you know, sleeping and chanting, and he is seeing that, you know, Krishna came in is my dream, you know. It's just, you know, mental speculation. You won't go in that. But if we say that, some devotee who did it, you know, I don't know his name, but I personally felt it very inspiring, then he'll also say, yeah, you know, it's nice, it's quite inspiring. So that way what happens is that, because, especially when it comes to share something that directly happens to us, what happens is that person who close, like, you know, who knows us, but not so closely, what happens that when we just tell that, okay, something great happened to us, but they also see that something not so great happening also parallelly, so they cannot correlate. So it's better to project it as, you know, third person, if we want to do it as a service, you know, if we want to, you know, project ourselves, that is a different story. So which basically we can, you know, so we can that is, yeah, that's then really we have to consult with senior devotees in that case, you know, if that is the case. But does that answer?
Yeah, I think that's what Narada Muni did with King Prachini Barhisha.
Yeah.
Is that what you
indirect,
mean?
Yeah.
In a third
person?
Not you, but, or something like that.
Yeah. So it depends on the audience, basically. If somebody is very close, very mature, and we know that he won't take it in a wrong spirit, yeah, then there is no issue in discussing. But if somebody is just, you know, struggling to coming up in Krishna consciousness, then by discussing such things, then we are... they may tend to think that we are more of a sentimentalist cult than, you know, so for them, like, you know, we have to speak philosophy. So, yeah. So, what best way we can serve? That is the principle we have to keep it in mind. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hira Panchami festival ki jai. Vakreshwar Pandit Disappearance Day Mahamotsav ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.